I'm going to term this shmooze Don't Think Like a Greek. That's the name of the shmooze. I spoke about the same thing much more Bahar Chava on Tuesday night, but it's always, especially considering all the topics that we've been speaking about, it's always important around the time of Chanukah, particularly today is, of course, Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh, to think about what it was that the way the Greeks thought and why their mode of thinking was so compelling to Klal Yisrael. They succeeded in making so many inroads and damaging Klal Yisrael in such a very deep way. And what was it about Klal Yisrael that we were able to reach down inside ourselves and to withstand that temptation? How much of those same kind of challenges still exist today? And what we need to do, what kind of mindset do we need to have to make sure that we don't think like a Greek? And the problem, just to frame the problem, so if you look in the second source on the sheet is the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, where the Medrash says, So just in those words, Sohu Vavohu V'choshech HaPnei Sahom. So the Medrash Rabbah says that those four words, Tohu, Vavohu, Choshech, and Tahom, are a reference to the four Malchius, the four Galuyos that the Jewish people were sent into. Tohu is Bavel, Bohu is Mada, like it says, Vayav Hiu Lavias Haman, those are the Persians. And Choshech, the Galus of Yavan, of Greece, is referred to as Choshech. Shech Shicha, Seinem Shech Yisrael, Guzir Seim. Hazal called the evil decrees that the Greeks made against the Jewish people as Choshech, as darkness. And you know, of course, if you look at the Levush in source number 6, so the Levush, of course, writes, and many others write this as well, that of course the attack of the Greeks is very different than the attack of Purim, that the Greeks wanted to attack us spiritually. The Greeks didn't want to kill us, they just wanted to attack us. They wanted to attack our ideology, the way we think, our Hashkafas HaChayim, the Greeks wanted to attack. And that was the darkness, as opposed to Haman and the Persians, they wanted to kill us. Didn't matter what you, if you convert, didn't make a difference. So they wanted to kill you anyway. That's why the Levush says, we celebrate Purim with Mishnah V'Simcha, with partying, with physical partying, because the threat was physical. But Chanukah, the Iker Kiyum, is no real mitzvah suda. Chanukah is really halal v'hoda, praise and thanksgiving, which are spiritual concepts, because the attack, the threat, was a spiritual one. So somehow, with Klal Yisrael, this attack, this darkness of Greece, was a more insidious, a more dangerous, because, you know, when someone wants to kill you, so you can recognize, it's very easy to recognize the danger. But when someone wants to corrupt you intellectually, to corrupt the way you think, and to change the way you think, that's sometimes even a more hideous and insidious type of threat. So, and that's why the Medrash first says darkness. It was some darkness that the way Klal Yisrael thinks is termed in terms of a light, of a positive, bright light, the way we think, and the Greeks tried to darken our light. And furthermore, the Mishnah in Midos writes that the Mishnah is talking about the very Midos, the Homoseches Midos, is about the measurements of the Beis Hamikdash, and it says there in Midos that the Greeks made 13 breaches in the Soreg, which was a short fence that surrounded the entire Beis Hamikdash. The Greeks made 13 breaches, and opposite that, Klal Yisrael, the Chachamim, instituted to bow down 13 times at the Beis HaMikdash. So you see, the Greeks, they had something against the Beis HaMikdash, the Mokum HaMikdash. There was something unique about it. That's why they defiled all the oils. They went into the Beis HaMikdash, they made 13 breaches, they defiled all the oils. So they were really dark. There was a lot of darkness, and the Kedusha, the light, the oil which symbolizes the light, the positive light of Klal Yisrael, this is what they wanted to darken. So I have to discuss what that means. But first, problem is that the Mishnah Megillah, the Gemara Megillah, says that actually a Sefer Torah is not allowed to be written in any language except for Hebrew. You got to write a Sefer Torah in Hebrew. However, there's only one language where we let the holiest of our holies, the Sefer Torah, only one language aside from Hebrew, we allow the Torah to be written in, and that is Dafka Greek. So, right, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omar Afisra, Mortir, Shiktabel, Yavanis, only in Greek. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why? Because the pasuk says, Yafta Lakim Liyafas, Vyishkon Ba'ole Shem. So that's really going to be the key to the whole understanding here of what it means to think like a Greek and what it means to think like a Jew. So the Gemara says, Yafta Lakim Liyafas, Yafas, you will have beauty. Yafas was the father, was one of the three sons of Noach. He was the father of Yavan, of the Greeks. So Yafta Lakim Liyafas, God's going to give beauty to the Greeks. Vyishkon Ba'ole Shem. But that beauty is supposed to dwell in the tents of shame. So that's from that pasuk, the Gemara learns that a Sefer Torah could be written in Greek. Only Hebrew, but a Sefer Torah written in Greek. So the kasha is, if the Greeks were categorized by the Medrash as darkness, they busted into the Beis HaMikdash as if it's theirs, why do we allow a Sefer Torah to be written in Greek? So it sounds like what the Torah is trying to teach you, yeah, that there is beauty, that to use your mind and to use wisdom, there is wisdom. Wisdom is an important thing. Chachma b'gayim tam, and we believe in using our minds and developing our own intellectual abilities and in understanding things deeply and in using the mind that Hashem gave us to understand Torah, to understand the world deeply. So the Greeks had a lot in common with us. Maharal writes in one of the later sources, they had a lot in common with us. They were thinkers. But what was the crucial difference? And this is what I wanted to really schmooze about. And that is that my Rebbe, Reb Mendel Blachman, said it based on that first episode, that same pasuk. Again, he gave the kernel of that idea. I don't want to attribute what I'm going to say to what he said. He would have said it much differently than I'm going to say it, but that kernel is what he said, and that is that Vayikach Shem Vayev is similar. Noach gets drunk, and Chum laughs about it, and the Torah says Vayikach Shem Vayev is, but it says it in the singular language, that Shem took the blanket and covered over his father. And Yefes, who is the father of Yavan, he went along. So what's the difference? Shem was an actor, Yefes was a reactor. And the way I always understood what the Rebbe said is that the difference between the Greeks is that the Greeks hold that man is the center of the universe. That's why the Greeks are the ones who originated the Olympics. The Greeks made great advances in sports because Olympics and sports celebrate the human body. Olympics, the human body is, and that's why my Rebbe said that that's why the Greek gods had human characteristics. The Greek gods were like the Greek mythology, and Mars and Venus is the god of love and the god of hate. They can get into fights with each other, they can argue, because what's a god for a Greek? A god is basically a human, a superhuman, because the humans are really the center of the universe, the human beings. So Shem acted, Yefes reacted. What do you mean? So the pshat's like this. Yavan went along with what Yefes went along with what Shem was doing, because once a human being was doing it, it's worth doing. Once this is what human beings decide is the right thing to do, so then I'll go along also. So Shem did it, and Yefes went along also, because that's why the Greeks were involved in the study of science and the study of philosophy and culture, because if human beings thought it up, then it's worth studying. The whole idea of the geocentric theory of the universe, that the earth is in the middle of the world, started also with the Greeks. That because man is here, so man is the center of the universe. It's all about man. So what do we say? We say there is beauty. There is beauty in thinking beautiful things. And the arts, why do the Greeks celebrate the arts and culture? Because man, what man draws is significant. Man did it. So we also have an appreciation for beauty. But here's the crucial difference. The Greeks believe that these things have inherent value. Man is the center of the universe. What man thinks, that itself is valuable because man. That's why the Greeks tried to make 13 pirtzes in the Beis HaMikdash. And it says in that Mishnah that Chazal instituted 13 bowing downs, Ishtachavayos. The Greeks said that we want to be in the Beis HaMikdash. We are the chosen nation, man. And the Greeks leading the world to show that man is the middle. They wanted a piece of the Beis HaMikdash too. This was the darkness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yaftel Kim Liyefes. Using the mind and studying what man can become is valuable. V'yishkan ba'olei shem. Only, not if it's an end in its own right. Only if, just like Yefes went along with shame, so Hashem says, Mida connected Mida. Yeah, Yefes, you're going to have beauty, but only when you're serving something else, but not man. Yishkan ba'olei shem. When we use our minds and use this kind of wisdom and studying what man can become only in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's possible to do the same thing. We got to make sure not to think like a Greek. Sometimes we get caught up in the value of these things and what the world puts value on, and we get caught up in it. Mesillas Yesharim writes many places, and that you could do two actions, but there's no such thing. There should be no such thing for a Jew, I believe, as a Dvar HaRishus, in a certain sense. In a certain sense, there is such things as Dvar HaRishus, but basically, when a person has spare time or whatever, everything a person does, every minute of the day, has to be used in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is nothing for us that has inherent value outside of the realm of the Rabbanu Shlom. Nothing for us has inherent value outside of the realm of Yadus. To play ball, so the Greeks glorified Olympics, but it's not because to show off man's body. We play ball. Playing ball is great. It's a great thing. It could be used in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be used, first of all, because a person needs a break sometimes. He just needs to chill out so he could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. And he has to keep his body in shape. You have to keep your body in shape. Ushmartim lo l'nafshal seichem is a mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the body. We do care about the body, insofar as the body needs to be used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The wisdom that there exists in the world. So the science, to understand the human body, a person can really come to a tremendous Hakaras HaTov. I had the privilege the other day of attending an exhibit in Manhattan, something called the Bodies Exhibit. Kohanim can't go there. Mamish have real live bodies. I walked out of there with an incredible feeling of Marabu Masech HaShem, of how incredible the human body is. People who study science, doctors who help the world. So the Gemara says, Tov Shebarofim L'Gehenim. The Gemara says, Tov Shebarofim L'Gehenim. The best doctors are headed to Gehenim. Why? What's the pshat? Because when you're a doctor and you heal somebody, there's a very grave danger that you're going to come to think like the Greeks. That you're going to come to think that what healed the person, what gave the person life, my expertise, my knowledge, my wisdom, my knowing what to do under pressure, my surgery, my medical education. Man, so it's great to be a doctor. Yiddishkeit loves, but Tov Shebarofim L'Gehenim, if you're really good at what you do, you got to be careful because you may end up on a line to Gehenim because you're thinking like a Greek, because you're thinking that it's your wisdom and your chachma independently is what accomplished the thing, there's so many areas in life where these kind of issues come up, where a person just gets carried away with thinking that I'm just, and we don't realize how influenced our views on these things are by the culture that surrounds us, by what we read. And it's very, very dangerous. Whenever we read something, we have to ask ourselves, whenever we come up with a new idea, We have to ask ourselves, is this idea chashuv because some guy said it's chashuv? Does this fit into a Torah approach with life? So I'm saying this really in two main points. The first main point I'm saying is that all wisdom, we have to be careful not to trust wisdom by itself. We believe that Chachma Bagayim Tamin, there is wisdom, but it's not something that stands by itself. It's something that has to be used in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Chazal said a Sefer Torah, even a Sefer Torah itself, can be written in Greek, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to say that stuff that's using the mind, wisdom, has value. It's only valuable if it's serving Torah. It's only valuable if it's serving. So, number one, all wisdom that exists, all art, if there's beauty in art, something's beautiful, has aesthetic beauty. The question is it used in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When we were going to, again, maybe this is an extreme version of this, but you know, a person should have his home. When you walk into his home, it should be a respectful, a nice place, a clean place. Because when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should have respect for the place. It should be a respectful place. It should be aesthetically pleasing. The Beis Medrash, you know, they put a lot of money into making sure that the Beis Medrash should be beautiful. It should be beauty. We believe that beauty has. But we say, who cares? You know what beauty? What does physical beauty mean? No, but that shows. That's the way a human being shows kavod for a place, for his home, should be clean, should be neat. So aesthetic beauty has value. Like when I was going to buy art for the house, so you know, I wanted to have art that showed Yiddishkeit. That everything should be about the Kotel, or should be about Jews dancing with the Torah. Should be. So art, it's important to have the house to be beautiful, but it's supposed to be, the beauty is supposed to be used in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, person has a nice, serene country scene, it's art, it's beautiful, something beautiful, so I could see that adding a certain sense of shalom and menuchas hanefesh and peace in the home, that a person should feel that way. So again, but again, it's not a value in its own, and again, I know what the obvious question here, of course, is, it's always a fine line. It's not always easy to know when I'm just like sticking it in that, you know, this could be used in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it's like this. Yeah, I could find the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam to use this for, but that's why you have to learn a lot of Torah and study with a Rebbe a lot. And that's why you have to be. That's why the Gemara says that one of the most important things that a Jew could do is not just to study Torah, but the Gemara talks about Kara Vishana Vishimish Tamidi Chachamim. And who's entitled to a halachic opinion on things? Someone who's Kara Vishana Vishimish Tamidi Chachamim. You learn, and you reviewed or you taught, and then you also have to be Mishamish Tamid Chachamim. Sometimes there's a lot of Torah that's not written. You have to see the way that Tzaddikim and the Tamidi Chachamim relate to things. And they give us the guidance to know this fine line between putting value into something, giving it inherent value. We don't believe that anything outside of Yiddishkeit has inherent value. Again, at first it sounds like a big onus. It sounds like, oh my gosh, I'm like in this prison and jail. I'm locked in my whole life. It makes me crazy. I'm nuts. No, you know, a person has to ask himself again, but you can't do it making yourself crazy. I say it with a little trepidation, but again, I think it's important for a person to realize that you shouldn't view this mandate of not thinking like a Greek as like my whole life is locked in. A person needs a break sometimes. The question is how much. A person wants to go to a ball game, so does he need a ball? Does he need it? You make yourself crazy. Do I need it? I think to make yourself crazy about anything is not a good idea. Not a good idea. You can make yourself crazy about a lot of things. You have the starim of when you have the starim. So during Seder time, it's supposed to be Seder time. During Kaddish time, you have vacation, you have breaks, you have time for that. That's the time to relax and enjoy yourself, and maybe make the relaxing more ikar, and then the learning, you know, more tougher. Everybody on his own level. A person wants to mamish learn the whole time during vacation. That's great, and a lot, you know, you'll see as life moves on, you'll get to different stages. But now, I'm saying, so I remember during vacation, so we used to go, and YU, I think I mentioned, we used to go to Neh Yisrael for the week. Allegedly, we were going to go learn for the week. Ended up, we learned a little bit, maybe went to Washington a little bit, there and there, but, so everybody, you have to know what's the right amount of time, but the crucial thing is, at least as a mizgeret, and you shouldn't view this as an overwhelming thing, as a mizgeret, a person has to ask himself in everything he does in life, am I doing this because it itself has inherent value, or am I doing this as part of my Yiddishkeit? And I think we have to work on ourselves that everything we do should be part of our Yiddishkeit. Every step you take has to be directed towards Yiddishkeit. That's the difference between the Greeks and the Jews. Don't think like a Greek. We don't just do things because they have inherent value outside of Yiddishkeit. You have to always do things, whether it be playing ball, whether it be studying, whether it be, you know, taking your classes. It's all part of my being in Eved Hashem. And I think that's the key difference. Because Yefeh, shame, did it because this was the right thing to do, because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam said a Jew should do. Yefes did it once he saw shame doing it, so he went along. So the Greeks do things because man says it's important, because man is the center of the Greek universe. And that's why in the Beis HaMikdash they established 13 Hishtachavayas. My Rebbe said, what's a Hishtachavaya? The Greeks said, we want a piece of this Beis HaMikdash. It's for us. That's why you don't have any special Kedusha. What's the Beis HaMikdash is that place on earth that connects heaven and earth. It connects heaven and earth. That's exactly what the Greeks said. There ain't no connection. This is, we're here. We're it. That's why Chazal and Misakim, my Rebbe said, that's why Chazal and Misakim, 13 Hishtachavayos connected to 13 Pirtzes. Because the Greeks said, it's about us, and what is Hishtachavayos? Hishtachavayos is complete Hizbatlus. Hishtachavayos is you bow down, you prostrate yourself down. It's not about us. Exactly the opposite. Chazal wanted to inculcate in Klal Yisrael the concept of Hishtachavayos. It's never about us. There's nothing about us. It's all about the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all about being mevatel ourselves. So hopefully, this Chag of Chanukah, as we light the candles and contemplate the beautiful spiritual light that the Torah gives for us, hopefully we mechazik ourselves to appreciate the strength that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us to look inside ourselves and realize that we have our own inherent, we listen to a higher authority. When you leave morals up to man, just look at what's going on in the United States. I mean, you know, when man decides what's considered to be moral, what are the sexual morals of the people we live on. That's how we look to the Torah dictates our morals for us. We don't look at man. We don't allow man. That's what Judaism has to preach to the world. Ethical monotheism. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides. We don't leave it up to man to decide. Hopefully, as we light the candles and as we are mesameach over our Torah and our Mesorah, our tradition, we can strengthen ourselves to not think like a Greek. Don't think that secular knowledge has inherent value by itself. Don't think that secular pursuits or sports or these things have inherent value by themselves. Everything needs to be used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it can be used to serve, then it should be done. If it can't be used to serve, then it's out of our hashkafa.
Any questions?